Welcome to the Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk, a show committed to educating, empowering, and entertaining you while saving you thousands. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. We are having a great time today here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tam.
Thanks for having me.
And we are enjoying our conversation with Kaiser Law Firm. We have Ryan Hyde and Elizabeth Kaiser. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
You guys are short sale specialists. And in case somebody joined us late in the show, just a quick briefing. Short sales is when somebody's trying to sell a house for less than what it's worth. And you guys are a law firm that specializes in that negotiation process. And when we think about that negotiation process, tell us a couple of the details. You can't, you know, take up a couple shows if you wanted to go into all the details. But
we sure could.
Do all the lenders have the same process, or is it different for each one of them?
It's actually different for each lender, and then also depending on who the investor on the loan is, whether it's Fannie Freddie, whether it's FHA, whether it's VA, all of that is different. And unfortunately, they're quite frequently changing their policies too. So even if you dealt with an FHA short sale 2 years ago or a year ago, there have been some small changes, but changes that make a big difference in the last couple of years.
What, aren't there some online systems like what Bank of America uses? What's the name of the online system where all the information has to be entered?
That's the Equator platform. Now, a lot of servicers are actually moving away from that. There are only a couple that are still using the Equator platform. So, you know, when I talk about changes and shifts and how these are worked constantly, that's one of them. It used to be a much more common method for negotiating that a lot of the servicers use. Now there are only a few left.
And why are they abandoning that system?
You know, I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure why.
It work out for one reason or another.
It may not have worked out for one reason or another. It may be more cost effective to take another approach. Quite frankly, one of my, and I don't want to say suspicious, but is that because it's so easily to track, and it's so open to see the time frame for everything, they might have opened themselves up to a little liability in how they were handling these. Because everybody, you know, we can log in and see, and I'm sure that, you know, information is very, very discoverable if there's
So if somebody has, you know, there's a servicer on the loan, a lot of people don't really understand the difference between the servicer and the investor, and you mentioned that earlier about Fannie and Freddie. So if your servicer on the loan is lender A, okay, they may not actually own the loan. The loan is probably owned by an investor because it was sold off to Fannie or Freddie. When you're doing these negotiations, does the servicer have to get permission from the investor for how much they can take?
Correct. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. At the end of the day, the investor holds all the cards into as to what they approve and what they get as a payoff. Sometimes it's a little more difficult to pin down because there are some private investors out there. Ultimately it is Fannie, Freddie, FHA, VA who dictates what sort of payoff they will accept. And quite frankly, you know, a lot of people, and you know, through no real fault of their own, don't even know if they've got a Fannie or Freddie backed loan because it's not made apparent. Yeah, exactly.
There are lookup tools, though, Doug, that you can look up if your loan is actually backed by Fannie or Freddie. They got a little lookup tool. And then along with what Ryan was saying is that the investors, they also have like a window of, they call it delegated authority. Mm-hmm. So the servicers actually have like a window of delegated authority in which that they can make decisions on. But if it goes beyond that window, they have to go back to the investor for final authority.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And that's really where the complication seems to come in with this, is the fact that you better know your way through, navigate through all those different lenders. And you know, I consider myself pretty adept at a lot of things around this industry. But that's one thing that I would never try to do on my own. I would never dream that I could be the one to negotiate a short sale with a lender.
Absolutely.
We call it a legal landmine. Right. It really is.
Well, as a consumer, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, how much does this cost me? But from what I'm hearing, in the long run, it's not going to cost me more than a foreclosure could cost me. What would your advice be? Like if I'm trying to decide if I go into foreclosure, because that sounds like the easy, cheaper way to go, it's not necessarily true. And going with you guys, what would I be looking at?
Make sure, you know, I would say to any homeowner who's listening who's in this position, make sure you and this is Fannie Mae, they've trademarked this, know your options. But that really is what you need to do, is you need to know your options and to know what you can do and again, position yourself, put yourself 3, 4, 5, 10 years down the road, and what do you want your personal financial situation to look like? What do you want your life to look
like? And that's going
to
cost me way more if I don't take care of things now. With you guys, it sounds like I'm going to, one, you are going to handle a lot of the stress of handling, you know, I wouldn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Like Doug was just saying, there's no way. So you guys will handle all the negotiations with the lenders, with whomever it is that we owe. And then what else, what other services do you guys offer with all that? Do you help me through some of that process or what goes on with that?
Tammy, I do want to interject. Mm-hmm. This is really important. You were talking about cost. Mm-hmm. In many, many of our files and many of our transactions and closings, it doesn't cost the homeowner a dime.
Oh,
that's all factored into the cost and the proceeds on the actual HUD.
Okay.
The lender many times will pay the seller's legal fees, which we are the legal representation of the seller. And there's also incentives and programs in place in which actually pay our legal fee. So in many situations, they don't have to pay a penny for our services.
So it's a no-brainer then to go with you guys.
and I would think that. But in addition to that, we also, and this is really important, is that we offer free confidential consultations in every single file.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody wants to find out, okay, how much is this going to cost? What am I going to look like? Why do I need to do a short sale? What is a short sale? What are the benefits? And all of the myriad of questions, we will spend sometimes a lot of time. In fact, Ryan was just on the phone yesterday, I think for, 30 minutes with somebody, giving him that free consultation that is absolutely confidential.
Right. We don't put a clock on those, and sometimes some people make me sorry that I don't. But that's fine. And I'm not changing.
Yeah,
so.
No. I mean,
free upfront consultation is important.
Very is. It's a confusing subject, and it's scary and overwhelming at times. So
what would you say to a realtor or a homeowner that thinks that they can negotiate the short sale on their own?